Hey everyone, Tom Callahan here with you, and normally we're kicking off a Talking Puck podcast and saying, hey, we'll talk to you on our Sunday night show as well. Instead, I'm releasing this podcast on a Sunday, and you know, it's funny, Mike and I decided, well, we're pretty much done for the summer. What's going to happen now? I mean, free agency's coming, we had planned to cover that, but wow, the draft was so much busier than we could have imagined this year. So we sat down and essentially ended up doing an entire feature-length show worth of talking about what had happened. So much happened in and around the draft with trades, contracts that have been signed, and now we're looking forward to free agency coming up here in just a couple of days. So wanted to get this out to you, and even though there is no show, this is dropping on a Sunday. We're on hiatus for the summer for the Sunday night show, but believe me, Mike and I will still have plenty to talk about when it comes to the hockey world. All right, let's get right to it. All the excitement around the NHL draft actually had very little to do with the draft itself. It was more the trades and, again, the free agents. Who's going to be there in the middle of this week? Who's not? Who's already signed some contracts? We'll tell you when we come back in just a moment. Let's kick it off. The Talking Puck podcast starts right now. Hello, everyone. Welcome into the Talking Puck podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you, and we have so much to talk about. Mike and I decided we were going to end the Talking Puck TV season last Sunday night. And Mike, usually the draft is kind of uneventful. A couple things may happen, but this year it was just bizarro world as far as the number of trades, the number of signings we saw. And I think part of it is still because we're getting back to normal. I get that. But wow, a lot of things have happened this week. And, you know, I'll open it up with some of the things. But I guess we have to kind of start with Chicago, don't we? What is going on with the Blackhawks? They trade Kirby Dach to Montreal, Alex DeBrincat to Ottawa. Now, it looks like the dismantling is on for the Blackhawks.
And remember, we talked about this quite a while ago, and I said it was not a case of if, it was a case of when DeBrincat was going to get traded.
Yeah.
So that rumor was out there, and I didn't think they got as much back for him as I thought they could have. I didn't think that was the super deal for him. But yes, you have a new general manager. It's obviously the start of a new era there in Chicago. They started that last year with trading Fleury. So they're, you know, they got a new young general manager. He's a forward thinking guy, and and they're completely revamping everything. If you are a Blackhawks fan for the last 15 years, you're probably going, This is the hard part for teams. After teams go through and win, Tampa Bay is going to have this coming for them in the next 5 years. They're going to go, oh, goodbye Kucherov, goodbye Stamkos, goodbye. You know, the list keeps going. Mm-hmm. Chicago fans are going through this right now. There's the only two stalwarts left, and did you see Duncan Keith just retired too?
Yeah.
I mean, not that he was a Chicago, but you know what I mean? It's just another guy from that three cup winning era that's just not in hockey anymore, much less on the Blackhawks. So they're going through that. This is a hard thing for fans to go through. I saw it here in Denver where, you know, after winning a couple of Stanley Cups in a 6-year period, it was very hard then to see those guys just gradually, you know, leaving. So Chicago's going through that period. Tampa Bay will be going through it soon enough. And that's hockey. It's just, there's a revolving door. The teams stay together for a shorter amount of time than they used to. And that's what they're experiencing right now. Did you think the return on those trades was worth it or not?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, right.
So at the end of the day, here's what they ended up with. For DeBrincat, it was number 7 overall, a second rounder this year and a third rounder in 24. For Dach, it was number 13 overall and a third rounder this year. So Chicago picked up draft picks. That's what they need. They're rebuilding. They are 3 to 5 years from being relevant again. They did pick up a goaltender in Peter Mrazek from the Leafs. They also got number 25 overall for him, just for a second rounder in 22. So that tells you where the Leafs are, at least with Mrazek. He's out the door. And Mike, I did want to mention, with Keith retiring, it saves Edmonton $5.54 million this year on the cap. But the Blackhawks get the cap recapture penalty. $5.54 million this year, $1.94 million next year. Mm-hmm. I will say this, couldn't come at a better time for the Blackhawks, because right now they're not spending the money. They could probably use that 5.54 to get to the floor, the way things are going for them. So, I mean, that's not even a stinger for them. But yeah, what pretty much does sting Blackhawk fans and their reaction to all this is they don't like the abject, we're throwing up our hands. And this is, to some of them, it's rearranging chairs on the Titanic. I got news for you. The ship sank already.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're building a new one. You're building a new ship, and it's going to take a while.
Right. No, you're just out, you're out on flotsam and jetsam right now, just trying to, you know, survive that sinking ship. And now the big question is, look, you're not going to, Taves can't go anywhere. There's not a team that's that dumb that's going to take that contract for Jonathan Taves. I thought maybe last year when Vegas was looking for a leadership, they were looking for some glue, looking for somebody that had won to kind of steer them. I thought that if they could have figured out money wise and split that with the Hawks, that maybe that would have been a decent place for him to go. Now he's not going anywhere. Their big chip they have, obviously, is Patrick Kane. And if Kane has to make his personal decision, does he want to sit for another 5 years and not even come close to winning a cup? And that by that point, he's aged out, and nobody's going to want him at that point. Or does he just love living in Chicago, loves the situation, just as, you know, he's won three cups. He's getting paid a ton of money. He's going to ride that out. Or is he hungry to win again and would like to be dealt? And if so, that's the biggest chip that they've got. The return for Patrick Kane would be immense, I think. Just immense. He puts people in the seats. He still produces. He's electrifying. You want to watch him. He's a big chip to me, if you can make that deal. And why wouldn't you if you're the Hawks? Other than fans going, what is any reason to come watch this team?
Right.
You become the Arizona Coyotes at that point if you trade him. But how many people are willing to pay that kind of price? And it's very expensive to go to and see a Chicago Blackhawks game in person just to see Patrick Kane float around and lose another game. I just think you trade him. I think you deal him and get what you can. You're not going to win. I don't think fans are coming just to see Patrick Kane anymore, especially when they're losing. Sure, trade him, which is sad. I mean, he's an icon in that town. He'll always be loved in that town, but it's time for him to be traded.
Well, the other thing too, Mike, is he and his agents issued the non-statement statement, the dreaded non-statement statement, where they said, we're reevaluating.
Yeah, which means we'd like to go.
We're done here. I mean, that's thinly veiled. We get it. So we'll see if anything happens between now and free agency. It also doesn't hurt them to hold on to him till the trade deadline either, where he could bring a good return there as well, now that we're through the draft. So some of the other trades that happened, I think actually the Tampa Bay trade of Ryan McDonagh to the Preds happened right before our show on Sunday.
Right.
But Alexander Georgiev going to Colorado, that's a big one, because now it has completely tipped the Avalanche hand on what direction they're going with goaltending. Bye-bye, Darcy Kemper. And to me, it says the Avs, number one, I do think Georgiev will be an upgrade, but the Avs at this point are almost saying we could win with a shooter-tooter is how they feel.
Yeah, we don't even need a goalie. We're going to put six skaters out there.
We'll still beat you.
We'll still beat you. You know what? He didn't have a great year, though.
No.
His potential is good, I guess, but he didn't have a very good year. So, which is why you got him fairly cheap, too, you know, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
They have moved on. Now, this is now, you know, 2 years in a row that they're letting their top goaltender just walk. at the end of the season. I mean, they didn't get anything back, you know, because of the expansion draft. And you, right? Was that it? Did he get picked?
Grubauer went free agent.
He was free agent, wasn't he? Okay.
He signed that giant contract with Seattle.
That's right. Okay.
Which I was not a fan of. Still not a fan of.
No. And then now Kemper's going to get big money, but he doesn't deserve it. But he'll, so that's 2 years in a row that your number one guy walks for free agency. But, you know, they, like you said, they don't care. They figure they can, you know, they can just put a stuffed animal in front of the net and they'll be fine. But it's again, potential's there. He hasn't really proved himself, although, you know, Kemper didn't really either. Didn't have a great year, but young. And he is somebody, if you do feel like he is the future, he, you know, that is somebody that you could, if you like him a lot, you, if you want to sign him, he's young enough that you could have him, you know, for the next 5 years and be your number one guy. But it also tells you they don't believe in their number two.
I feel like they're going to they're going to go 1A, 1B with Francouz and Georgiev is kind of how I feel about it.
Right. But what they're doing is they're not, they're saying, bye-bye, Kemper. That's no problem. Happy to see you go. In fact, we were happy to see you go.
Didn't want to pay you.
But it's not like they're going, well, now we have our number one guy already, and we're going to bring up somebody from the minors or somebody that we've been grooming for this next. They're saying, we don't believe in the guy that we've got. They don't. You don't make that deal if you believe that he is now your number one guy, right?
That's I hadn't thought of it that way.
I thought of it as
you basically have a tandem that's about the same on both halves, but
no, you don't believe in him. You don't think he can be your you don't think that he can play 55 games and be the man. You don't. You wouldn't have made that deal.
Interesting. It's well, let's stay on the goaltender train. I'll talk about the Romanov deal here in a second. But while we're staying on the goaltender train, a couple of other guys move. Vitek Vanacek ends up in New Jersey. Ville Husso ends up in Detroit. And as I mentioned, Peter Mrazek went to Chicago, all in trades that happened there. So Husso now into Detroit. Mike, is Detroit a team that we are... Now, they had a decent season this year, and I want to say I felt like that was ahead of schedule. Is Detroit ready to take a step forward and maybe compete for an 8-7-8 area playoff spot?
I hope not.
Well,
sorry, I just can't let it go.
Set up the bowling pins for you, yeah. Knock them down.
You know what? Eiserman's a smart guy. It's I agree with you. They're a little ahead of the schedule. They're going in, but they are going in the right direction. They've accumulated young players. They've dealt away the guys that they didn't want. They've trimmed some bad contracts. They're going in the right direction. They are not ready at all yet to contend for a championship, but they are that much closer to making the playoffs. So the hard part is the East as a whole is very difficult to make the playoffs. It's harder there than it is in the West to make the playoffs. And so you've got some obstacles if you're Detroit, but clearly they're on the right track. I don't know whether he's the answer in goal or not. I don't know. I'm not sure if he can play 55, 60 games and get you to a playoff spot. I don't know. That remains to be seen. But I think clearly they're on the right track, though.
And Vanacek's got to be a disappointment to Washington to the end. Remember, they traded to get him back from Seattle.
I know.
After Seattle grabbed him. And then they were trying to force him into that starter role. He never really grew into it. So now he goes to Jersey. I think you just chalk that up as kind of a missed experiment. You saw flashes of brilliance, but no. I mean, Vanacek, what's he going to do in New Jersey?
Nothing. You know? That's a bad team. It's a terrible team, and they're not going anywhere right now. So it's going to be another frustrating year for that goaltender. That, you know, you're going to play on a team that's not going to be good. So, but you got a job and you're there, and
right,
Jersey wanted him. Washington obviously didn't want him anymore, but you know, he landed okay. I just keep you're naming these names. I just can't. I'm just going. You know, because we talked about on the Sunday show, we talked about Gibson is supposedly available right now. So, but I don't know why we spend so much. I don't know why you and I spend so much of our time talking about the Edmonton Oilers and their goaltending situation, but we do. We just spent an inordinate amount of time talking about this. And daggone it, Connor, I don't know why. I mean, I don't know the guy at all. I just don't understand how Edmonton is going to let McDavid and Draisaitl continue to be on that team and not win a Stanley Cup because they don't have a goaltender. And here are guys are shuffling around, guys are moving, things are happening, you know, trades are being made. I mean, look at the Colorado trade. Well, they didn't give up anything for that. Why couldn't Edmonton have made that deal?
Yeah.
He's an upgrade from Smith. I mean, you know, that wouldn't have been a bad goaltender to have there. I don't understand. I wish somebody would explain this to me, why they are not pursuing a better goaltending situation. If they had had that, they might have been able to go to the Stanley Cup last year or come close at least.
Yeah. And you know, there are some names. We're gonna throw this out later in the podcast. There's names I'm gonna hit you with, and of course there's a couple goaltenders in the list. But yeah, there's gonna be an interesting market for goalies coming up here on the 13th. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. One other trade I wanted to mention, Mike, was Tony DeAngelo goes to Philadelphia, and that one, I think now he actually has his contract done there. They were basically stuck for $1 million. Carolina valued him around $4 million. He wanted around $5 million. He ends up in Philadelphia. DeAngelo's a guy I know from the Coyotes organization, has his detractors and has his issues that are following him, let's say. Mm-hmm. To me, DeAngelo is an exceptionally talented, one-dimensional player. He's an offensive defenseman who can really upgrade Philadelphia in a lot of ways, but he has to resist the temptation to be the attraction, the show. You know, he is not afraid to be confrontational with people, whether it's in the locker room or social media. He speaks his mind, I guess, is the way you could politely put that. And he said himself, well, I'm not going to say anything more about this. I'm going to prove it. And my reaction is, good, Tony DeAngelo. I hope you do prove it, because you need to at this point. It's, if you want to be considered one of the top offensive defensemen in the game, let's face it, it is not just about the on-ice. If you are such a bad apple in the room, or your teammates don't like you, or whatever, I mean, there comes a time, Mike, where it's not worth it to keep you around. And this is his fourth team now in the NHL.
Yeah. No, it's one of those guys you just think he's never going to live up to that potential, that what you thought he might be, right? It were worth whatever that potential is to have on your team, whatever reasons, in the locker room, out of the locker room, whatever. That's a guy that, boy, it's clear, isn't it, that you only get so many chances. In Philadelphia, now you're going to be playing for Tortorella, right?
Right. That's going to be an interesting situation right there.
But that might be
maybe it's what he needs.
I hope it all works out for him, and hope he has a great career. But that's, you wonder how many more chances you get, because it's not like this is a guy who's had a couple 50 goal seasons. And you're just going, okay, you know what? Let's just try to find a good fit for him. He's more of a potential guy. And at some point, you just run out of time trying to prove yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And the other trade that did happen, speaking of defenseman, Alex Romanov goes to the New York Islanders after Lou Lamoriello kind of gave away Devon Taves. And then look what he did with Colorado. But now they replace his spot, I guess, in a way, with Romanov, who's a little bit bigger, a little more physical guy. So the Islanders do short things up there. But maybe a little too little, too late. Certainly didn't save Barry Trotz's job. You know, that's, I mean, the Islanders, that's a nice acquisition for them. They gave up a first rounder to get him, which Montreal then turned into, I forget if it was the Dock or the DeBrincat trade, but they, you know, they were able to flip that pick. And so, look, at this point, I mean, if you're the Islanders, to me, I know they're not going to say it, but this is a team that has so many question marks coming into this year. I don't know if it's a rebuild, maybe it's a retool, but I don't feel confident about the Islanders' chances of making the playoffs again this year.
Wow. Okay.
I don't. Look, I mean, look at that team. What? Yeah. They'll be okay in net. They'll be fine in net. But other than that, what excites you about the Islanders?
Yeah, no, you got a good point. They were so disappointing this year after 2 years ago having, I thought, a great run and so close to getting to the Stanley Cup. But that was a really, was it mitigating factors? Was it the going to the new building and having to start so much on the road? Some injuries.
Couple of bouts of COVID. Yeah, sure, that was a factor.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was. I don't think we're going to know whether that was just a little blip last year for them or whether that was, oh, that's who they are. That's really who this team is. So I it remains to be seen whether or not And they're in a tough division. That's a tough division. I'm with you. They've changed. Last year when the season started, I thought that could be a Stanley Cup contender. To now, they will maybe not make the playoffs.
And it'll be interesting to see too. They have a new head coach, right? What kind of style are they going to play? Yeah. Right. What's it going to look like? We won't know the answers to that until the season starts. Right. So. You know, right. under new leadership, you know, sometimes the restaurant gets better, sometimes it gets worse.
Right. So, right. We'll see what the health inspector says.
We'll see what they turn out to be. So those are a lot of the big trades that happened this week, Mike. Mm-hmm. And I want to get to contracts here in just a moment and then some of the pending free agents. But out of all of those, the teams that made the moves, who did you like the most? And also, I want to mention San Jose, kind of minor trade, picked up Luke Cunnan from the Preds, and Arizona got Zach Cassian and fleeced Edmonton just to get rid of that contract. They picked up three more draft picks, and Edmonton moved back three places. But I mean, who do you think did pretty well as far as what players do you like going where?
There's no blockbusters other than. We thought that the DeBrincat was the thing that's going to happen. I think it's more for Chicago just going, we are starting over. We're just unloading people. And this is the start of a new beginning, if you will. And so I think for Chicago, that has to rock some fans. Like you said, they have to be going, oh my goodness, how much lower can we go before we start moving up? But it has to be done. You've got to clear and make that big change. It's a hard thing to go through though as a team, as fans. But I don't know. There wasn't any super blockbuster deals made at the trade deadline. What about you? What do you think?
Well, I mean, to bring it to Ottawa is the biggest one. I mean, you move a 40-goal scorer, it's a decent deal. But here's the thing is, to bring it goes to Ottawa, Doc goes to Montreal. We don't really know what those teams are, and they were not playoff teams. Do those players make those teams playoff teams? I don't think so, but they are nice pieces to build around.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So that's interesting to me. McDonough to Nashville, I do like that move. And... Yeah. Let's face it, Philadelphia, the last several years, Mike, has been a maybe in so many ways, in so many different areas. Everything from the net out, from the coaching, which now there's a change there as well. Right. We look at Philadelphia, and the last couple of years I've been scratching my head saying, man, the Flyers should be better, shouldn't they? Maybe this is a new direction for them. Maybe D'Angelo gives them an offensive spark. You know, helps a power play out type of thing. But I just, the point is, so these big names I just mentioned go to these teams that are all question marks to me, that I don't know who they are. No one, it's not like Florida landed DeBrincat when I went, wow, man, that was tremendous. Look at that. So,
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's the, and these are, look, these fire up some fan bases. Don't get me wrong. The Senators fans have been complaining for how many years now about please do something, anything. Well, they did, and that's a big something for Ottawa fans, but okay, now you got to build around it. Now you have to, and you have to start hitting on your draft picks and your prospects and all those other moves you're making. So that's, that to me is where the question lies. Why don't we take a break here? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about the free agent contracts that are being signed before free agency. So guys staying with their teams. And then I've got a list of six names. I'm going to throw up Mike, and I want to hear his reaction to these. So
are these guys who, may or may not resign with their team?
Yes.
The free agency, that's what we're looking at. Okay. The, well, I know the one big name that the rumor is coming coming out now that he's definitely not signing, and that there's a big name.
All right.
It's going to be on the move. All right.
So we'll just leave that hanging for you. And we'll come back with it on the other side of the break. Right back with more of the Talking Puck podcast in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show. All right, everybody, welcome back on the Talking Puck podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. We've gone on hiatus for the summer show on Sunday nights, on the Sunday Night Talking Puck TV. We're taking a bit of a break. We'll be back. Don't worry. But right now, I know everybody's fretting. People are losing
their whole plans. Oh, their life plans are changing. I know. Everything's changing.
We freed up your Sunday nights for the month of August. But
watch some reruns of Game of Thrones or something.
That's right. That's right. So, but Mike and I are going to podcast. So you can follow us here anywhere. You can pick up your podcast. You can get us. So we appreciate you following us there. And I'm on Twitter at Callahan on Air. Mike is at Buster the Dog 33. I don't know that Buster the Dog answers his tweets very often, but
he's a quiet dog. But I have a question for you. Have you, because the draft just happened, and my son is draftable age. he missed it this year. He just missed it. But he has played with and against a number of players who were eligible. And so we were really watching to see if some names came up of people that he knew or played against. The number one name that we were waiting for, and it didn't happen. My son used to play with and against Marek Hajduk, Milan Hajduk's son, and he was projected to go third or fourth round and did not get picked. Now, I don't feel too bad for him because he's got a scholarship to Harvard, so he'll be fine.
Right.
But it was just I'll get to my question for you here in a second. But so there were some other guys, Ken Klee, who played here in Denver and coached my son and his son, David. We thought he might be drafted, and it wasn't. But so my question to you is, did you ever have a year in which you played with or against guys that got drafted and you kind of followed them a little bit? We've been doing this. My son and I have been doing this for a few years because maybe a couple of older kids that he played against or with, some have gotten drafted. And so I don't know, we just always find that fascinating. We watch the draft fairly closely just because he's right at that age. So how about you? Have you ever had that circumstance, maybe when you're a little bit younger or whatever, have friends who had kids that, you know, whatever, you know, just that you followed it just to see if somebody you knew got drafted?
There was actually one, that I played with when I was young, and Mike, you know how you can just tell there's that one kid out there who is just so much better than everybody else age group.
There's always somebody in the league like that.
Yeah. We had that kid, and it was Pete Ratchuk. And he was so much better than just our entire team. It was amazing to watch him, you know, just out there as a little kid, just dominant. Just dominating. It's crazy. But he did. He ended up getting drafted. He played mostly in the American League, but I think he did get a cup of coffee or two in the NHL. He was in the Florida system for a while. I mean, played in the American League here. Let me date myself with the Louisville Panthers.
Right.
And it was funny because we had the same owner when I was in Elmira in what used to be the United League. They played a game in town, and he was with Louisville, and I ran into him out at an establishment one night, and I'm like, hey, Pete. And I struck up a conversation with him, like, hey, man, do you remember, you know, playing for the District 5 Flyers back in the day? I'm like, I was your goalie. He's like, really? Right. You know, we shared a couple of laughs over that.
We were on the same team.
Yeah. So,
but he didn't remember you.
I mean, he remembered I was the goalie. I don't know. I mean, probably every other kid on that team remembered Pete just because he was so good.
Right.
You know, it's, I've got the team picture somewhere. It's probably at my parents' house, but yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, he's the one that comes to mind. Other than that, I mean, you know, maybe as I became an adult, a little bit older, you know, it's interesting to watch guys who did play in the NHL or around the NHL as their kids become draft eligible.
Yes, isn't it? Yeah, I know. I went through that. Pierre Turgeon's kid, Warren Reichel's kid, just guys that came through here in Denver. Then their kids getting drafted, not making it though. Derek Armstrong's kid right now, he was eligible for the draft and didn't get picked. He's in the Western Hockey League for Regina. But yeah, that is interesting when you see that happening.
Also makes you feel old, by the way.
Oh, so old. Because I remember them, they had a policy here in Denver that any little kids were allowed to come to practices and morning skates, and they had free reign in the locker room. They used to be when that team was really young and winning in the late 90s. There were so many little kids running around. It was so fun, though. It was great for the kids. They just believed, Pierre Lacroix believed in family a lot. He thought that was a great atmosphere to have, is to have little kids running around. And it really was fun because then they would go out on the ice and skate. I don't know. It was cute. But there was a guy, remember a player, Jeff Odgers, by any chance?
Oh, yeah.
Tough guy.
Yeah.
So he had a son who was the same age as Warren Reichel. Do you remember Warren Reichel at all?
I do.
Pretty tough guy. Those two little kids, they must have been four years old about that time, maybe five. They would literally fight each other just after dad. They were just wailing on each other all the time. It was like mini Odgers against Reichel fights in the locker room. Hilarious. I mean, really punching each other. Oh, it was so cute. It was really adorable. Anyway. So.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the concussion start early, Mike.
Well, yeah, the apple didn't fall far from the tree.
I guess not. Jeez.
Yeah, they were, you just see them punching each other, wrestling on the ground. It was really funny. Really, really funny. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so we were here in Denver land. We were wondering if Merrick Hayduke was going to get picked. He did not, which was a surprise.
Well, and you know what? Some guys, it motivates them more. And he may go on to Harvard, have an awesome career, sign somewhere as a free agent. We see, you know, players who are examples of that sometimes. But
yeah, good nonetheless, luck. Hey, he's in Harvard. Come on, he's gonna be okay.
Yeah, he'll probably have a nice degree if he sticks around for 4 years.
He'll be fine. I think in case it doesn't work out, I think financially he'll be okay.
Yeah,
his dad. I think things will be fine. Anyway, all right, let's go. Let's get back to
speaking of financially okay. Thank you for the lead. Philip Forsberg is the most financially okay as of today. 8 years, $8.5 million AAV.
Wow.
$68 million overall. It's an 8-year deal. I don't mind 8-year terms for guys who are 27, 28, like Forsberg is, carry you up to your mid-30s. I don't like massive term like for Chris Letang, 6 years, $36.6 million. So it's a $6.1 million AAV cap hit on a guy who's no spring chicken. No. And
gets hurt.
And his durability issues. And I mean, this year he had a good year. He was healthy most of the year. Mm-hmm. So that's nice to see. But we know as you get older, Mike Smith, you get hurt more, Mike Smith. I got to stop picking on Mike Smith at some point. But seriously,
be a knock on your door one of these days.
You know what? I know he's going to show up and be like, "Do you know who I am?" And then I'm just going to kneecap him. But
and then he'll be hurt, and then he'll be hurt.
That's
again.
That's it. Long term IR, which is probably where he's going to be next year for the Oilers. The last year of his deal, he'll probably be long term IR. Letang, I do want to talk about this, and we can come back to Forsberg, but Letang. Now, the first thing, here's the most interesting thing. Evgeny Malkin tweeted at Letang after this contract was announced. He said, "I hope I don't have to play against you." Letang said he hoped the deal left room for Malkin to be signed. I don't think the Penguins can do that. I think Malkin's going to end up someplace else.
They're not going. He's gone. No, he's not going back to the Penguins.
He turned down his $5 million a year. Remember, they offered him identical contracts. I think it was, 3 years, $5 million a year. Both players balked.
No, he's leaving. No, he will not be a Pittsburgh Penguin player next year. That was the big name that I was talking about before we went to the break, that he is going to go somewhere else. They're not going to sign him, and they shouldn't. Not for a big price. You like to come back and play for $2 million a year, and we'll give you a 3-year deal. That's it. Otherwise, good luck to you. And it's a shame. He's an icon in that town. He's beloved. Helped them win cups. But you cannot pay him $6 million a year now. You can't give him a Letang contract. That's insanity.
Yeah.
Now, all you're doing is putting off winning in the near future, because you're hanging on to guys who can't win anymore, and you've got to do what Chicago has done, and that is you've got to move on. You've got to, and it's sad, it's hard, and it's painful, and you don't want to do it, and fans don't want it to happen. But unfortunately, Malkin is going to play for somebody else next year, and if he doesn't, Pittsburgh is going to, it's going to be however long his contract is how long they're not going to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. And that's interesting. I look at this deal, and Pittsburgh is among those teams we look at that might be aging out. When is the question? Washington is one of them. Boston's another, while they have Letang, while they have Crosby, they believe, and they have to believe, their window's open. They have to go for it, especially while you still have Crosby. So that's what Pittsburgh is doing, but I think they've drawn their line in the sand. And it's funny because that's not the big name I thought you were going to say was the big name. Oh. But that's interesting because I have a different big name.
Okay, good.
Forsberg in Nashville. The money's a little high for a guy who, look, he just set his career high in goals of 42. Duchesne led the team with 43, but still Forsberg's right there. I don't know. The downside of this for me is, okay, you can argue that, well, look, he's 27 and just had his best year. And is that, Mike, you say this all the time, 27's kind of the cap on your peak years. Now you're paying.
It's all downhill.
Yeah. Right. So is 42 going to be the high watermark, and you're paying $8.5 million for a guy who's going to regress to 30 goals a year?
It's too much. It's too much.
It's a lot of money.
But these guys, you know what? By the league agreeing years ago to allow 8-year contracts be the maximum as part of their players' agreement, they've done it to themselves. It's insane to have 8-year contracts for these guys. And at hockey, it's a rare guy who can play that. The Ovechkins are rare. You know, when you're still producing for that many years, that's rare. Yeah. And again, Nashville has not won anything, hasn't won a cup, but he's a great player. Man, they did it to themselves by allowing the max to be 8. So you have he's their best player on the team, and your agent goes, hey, you either gave us the 8 years or we're out of here. They're so hamstrung, these GMs now, to, you know, they've got a gun to them. It's difficult. I mean, now they can get a 7-year deal somewhere else, and if you know, but boy, oh boy,
the impetus is there for these guys, Mike, to get paid because this is their home run contract.
This is it. You're 27. You just had your best year. His agent is saying, if you want to make your big money, this is it. But, you know, if you're Forsberg, it's interesting for him, too, because you're now agreeing to the rest of your career, basically, to a team that you can't feel good about is going anywhere right now, right? This is not a team that's going to contend for the cup in the next... at least the next 5 years, they're not a cup contending team. And you now have said the money living here, maybe he likes living in the town, but whether it's the town, the money, all that now is more important to him than winning. Because he could have said, I'm going to get paid wherever I go, and I want to go somewhere and win. But I'm going to stay here and lose and take the money. How do you like that statement?
Wow. I think at least Nashville they have an all-star / Norris defenseman in Roman Josi. They have a very good starting goaltender. They now have, here's the thing. They did get really good years out of guys like Duchesne, like Johansson. Didn't get these years out of these guys previously. They've been kind of bad contracts until this season. But then in the playoffs, I mean, Colorado just rolled over the Preds. Now, mind you, they didn't have Saros, but what does Saros do? Does he get him to game 6? They weren't beating the Avalanche. The Avalanche are the bar, like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a real high bar. I don't think there's another team in the West that is going to approach the bar again this season for the Avalanche.
No, not if they stay healthy. And if they stay healthy, there's no reason they shouldn't finish first again in the conference. For Nashville, you know, they finished third in the division, right? They didn't finish third.
No, they were the 1-4 with Colorado.
Yeah, right. Minnesota and Minnesota, St. Louis. So are they better? I don't want to beat up on Nashville, but I'm just looking at it from the Forsberg situation. If he's realistic, he goes, well, I'm going to take the money. Are we better than St. Louis or Nashville? I mean, or Minnesota?
The flip side is, who's got the money to pay you? You know, maybe you could go to Ottawa. Maybe you could go to Detroit. Maybe
you're not winning there either.
Also, right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the dilemma. That's your roll of the dice. Your agent says to you, "Look, you're not going to win a cup here, but I can get you 8 years and $8.5 million a year. Otherwise, you want to go to play in New Jersey? You want to play in? You're right. You want to go to Arizona? You're right. You're not getting signed by Tampa Bay or Florida. If you want to stay in the East." So that's your agent. That's what you're saying is take the money. Just take the money. because you're rolling the dice. If you go free agency, there's no guarantee you're going to a winning team. There's almost a guarantee you're going to get that money. Somebody's going to give it to them.
Sure.
But you're not, there's no guarantee you're going to win. If you're comfortable here, you like living there, then that's your situation. You're just not going to win a cup.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe 5 years into this 8-year deal, well, at age 32, 33, whenever it is, that's when the contract becomes more tradable.
Yeah, maybe. So,
you know,
maybe. Depends on how he's producing, too.
Right. Yeah. Well, exactly. Okay, another one that I wanted to talk about. Marc-Andre Fleury, 2 years in Minnesota, $7 million. The Wild commit to Fleury, who's, I don't want to say approaching 40, but he's up there. What, 38 years old by the time next season starts, I think?
Yeah, so he'll be 40 before this is done. You know, he didn't get done what they wanted him to get done, did they? He didn't win a series for them. And he didn't play great either. You know, it wasn't like he played great, but the team didn't support him. He didn't play that good. And it's interesting that they could have cut ties and wouldn't really cost them anything. Yeah. And
someone else would have paid him.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's a backup. He's a backup now. He's right. Somebody else. He's not going anywhere as a number
not
one.
Not Minnesota. He's not. He's number one now because Cam Talbot is not going to be happy and has, again, the veiled no statement statement. Talbot has made it clear he wants to be a starter, believes he is a starter, but you signed Fleury for starter money. I mean, $3.5 million a year.
Is that starter money, though? I don't think is that starter money nowadays?
That's a lot for a backup. Are you spending $3.5 million on a backup?
Yeah, but it's not number one money.
It's kind of 1A, 1B money if you're expecting Talbot to stay on a similar contract.
Right. It's a.
You can spend $7 million on two goaltenders. You could do it 5-2 or 6-1, or you can do it 3.5 and 3.5.
Right. So you're not really saying to Fleury, you are absolutely our number one. You're the man. You're playing 55 games next year, 60 games.
But Minnesota doesn't have the money to throw at him. Minnesota's got that giant cap recapture penalty for the next couple of seasons.
Oh, I'm not saying
he has to be their budget starter. He has to. They don't have the money.
Yeah, I know. I guess he must want to stay there. He must want to stay. Because you think he could have got $6 million somewhere else?
No, I think the money would have been similar for him to go somewhere else. But
he wasn't getting any more. But where else would he go and get $6 million and be a number one?
Well, we already know he would not go to Edmonton because Edmonton would have been higher on my list for him if he, but he didn't want to go there. Otherwise, he would have been traded there earlier. Toronto might have been a possibility, but I just don't think he's on Toronto's radar right now. And that's the other thing for Fleury is you don't want to get caught in the waiting game, right? You know, maybe everybody's waiting for the dust to settle. Does Gibson get traded? What happens with the Leafs goaltending situation? Who's putting the money out? And then if you're Fleury, you're 2-3 days into free agency, and now you're going, oh, man, I missed.
Yeah, no.
You can't do that.
That is a problem. I agree. But you've also now created the situation with him and Talbot now.
Yes.
Is it a good thing where you're competitive against each other? And that brings out the best, or have you got an angry goalie who feels that he should be number one? You're mad that they traded for Fleury in the first place, and now you're unhappy.
Right. And remember, and they turned to Talbot at the absolute last second, which was way too late.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it's a great situation, really.
No. No, it's not. And you need someone to help manage Fleury's minutes. Fleury's not playing 60 games.
Can't.
He should play half. Yeah, he needs to play half. And then even in the playoffs, he should be playing 2 out of 3.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it didn't work last year. It was too bad. I was hoping that would have been fun if he, you know, just had this resurgence and it was a Cinderella story, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. I really, Mike, I thought that game 3 where That was their chance, maybe game four, to get Talbot in there and give Fleury a game off. They didn't do it that way. Mm-hmm. It just, yeah. And by the time they decided to try Cam Talbot, it was just too late.
It was too late. No, it was over. It was over by that point. Yeah. All right, what else we got?
Okay, so that, and then the last one, I just wanted to mention the Adrian Kempe contract. 4 years, $22 million, so he's a 5.5 AAV. That's not bad for the Kings, who quietly, again, finished second this year. And, you know, they bring back a core player. I don't mind that deal for the Kings at all. So this is going to bring us around to, Mike, now, this question that I have for you. And this brings us to the list of names. The question is, for these players, are they somewhere else when the 22-23 season gets underway? And the list of names I have, and this is not a complete list, but I couldn't go on forever. Evander Kane, Darcy Kemper, Jack Campbell, Patrick Kane, Cam Talbot, and this is the one I thought was your big name, Johnny Gaudreau.
Oh, that, yeah, he is a bigger name than Malkin. I just think, I know I shouldn't say that. He's a better player than Malkin. Malkin's still a bigger name.
That's true. That's true.
I think.
So are those guys on different teams? Now, I feel like there's no way. I don't know if you want to start with the goaltenders or not, but I feel like Talbot and Kemper, there's no way they go back to their teams. I just don't feel. I feel like Talbot's out of Minnesota and Kemper's out of Colorado.
Agreed. Agreed on both of those. 100% on Kemper. That they've already told him, we don't want you.
Right. The Georgiev move makes that clear.
Yeah. We don't want you. So he's gone. Talbot, I think, is 50-50. You know, they may sell him the look. You're going to play half the games. He's you know, you're here long term. You know, we can make this a long term thing. You're going to have to really massage Cam Talbot to get him to stay.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it could be done. I think he's 50-50 whether he stays or not. But I think there's some anger there, and he's. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go 60-40 more. He leaves.
Okay. And then Jack Campbell in Toronto.
Gone.
Yeah? Does Kemper go to Toronto?
That's a mistake. I'm not going to win the cup with him. I mean, I know he just won one, but he didn't win it. That was Antti Niemi winning a cup. That's not Toronto's answer. It's just not. But Campbell's done. He's done there. He'll be somewhere else.
You feel like that deal would have been done by now if he was coming back?
Yeah, they don't want him back. No. That was so disappointing to lose the way they did. I just don't think they believe in him.
Interesting. That creates a lot of goaltender roulette possibilities summer.
The wheel's going to be spinning this summer for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be guys wearing different uniforms next year for sure.
That's interesting. All right, so Evander.
I didn't hear your. Thrown by me, and then I want to hear all your.
Okay, so then the three players. These are big names, all of them: Evander Kane, Patrick Kane, and Johnny Gaudreau.
All right, Kane stays with Edmonton.
Which Kane?
What's that? Evander Kane.
Patrick Kane traded to Edmonton. What?
Oh, what? No, that would be awesome. Him? Can you imagine that line?
Oh my
Kane,
goodness!
Kane, Dreisaitl, and McDavid. How fun would that be? That'd be the best line maybe ever in hockey.
That'd be
watch.
Filthy.
Just to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, be you just couldn't take your eyes off it. Be worth every penny to pay. Kane will be back to start with Chicago. But I think at some point gets traded. Kane re-signs as a free agent with Edmonton, and Gaudreau is gone.
Okay.
And I will add Malkin is gone. I just want to, I know you didn't say that list, but I think he gone. All right, you run it down through, run all those names back at me and what you think.
I think Evander Kane's out. I don't think he's coming back to Edmonton. The way he's kind of laid it out is, I want to get paid. And even though, again, Kane's another one of these guys who has all this baggage floating behind him. And he came in to prove it, I think, did have a really solid just production. Everything was good for Evander Kane. But of course, then the last game of the last series, you know, gets himself in a little bit of trouble and, you know, takes that run at Nazem Kadri. And that to me was the old Evander Kane creeping through. I just don't think the Leopard changes the spots. And I don't think Edmonton spends the money on him. Even though they now have a little over $8 million in cap room, thanks to Duncan Keith retiring, as we mentioned, you know, it's Chicago that gets hit with a recapture penalty, not Edmonton. So they have some room. They could re-sign him. I just don't think they do. I think they move on and try to spend that money elsewhere. Patrick Kane, I'm 50-50 that he's even on the Blackhawks to start the year. Because I think with Doc going, with DeBrincat going, he is now going to the front office and saying, well, look, I'm out of here. Give me a chance to win somewhere. And there are some teams, and one of the teams I think could be a front runner for him is the Rangers. You know, and man, Kane would love the spotlight on Broadway, and that would make the Rangers instant success. You know, they had a good year this year, don't get me wrong, but they just fell a little short. That could be the guy that puts them over the top. That would be a deal, Mike, where I say, wow, that puts that team over the top.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, Florida could be beaten by a team like that. And again, new coach coming in for Florida. We'll see what Paul Maurice does. We don't know yet. Johnny Gaudreau, part of me thinks he's gone. He's really dragging this out with the Flames. But honestly, Calgary cannot afford to let him leave. I think Calgary ends up throwing so much money at him that even though Philly and New Jersey, that's home for him, he's got a house out there, there's that giant pull. Philly just had to spend some money on D'Angelo. New Jersey, I mean, they've still got money, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I feel like Calgary is going to make it. He's going to get a giant contract. Giant contract, and he's going to end up staying in Calgary. Because that team, it depends if winning is important to you. Calgary is still arguably the second or third best team in the West.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. I don't know. I just have a feeling that he's a, I don't know, just a U.S. East Coast guy who I think is going to get. I think we're going to get close to that first $12 million a year player, and it might be him. I think it might be him. We're already at 11. We're all right. We got players making 11, and I wouldn't be shocked if he gets that. If he gets that big contract, I think his agent is just whispering to him, "You are going to make a fortune. Let's go."
He's arguably the biggest offensive name out there.
He's
also still young enough where if you're putting all that term into him, now, mind you, if he goes free agent, he can only get 7 years, not eight. Only the Flames can give him eight. But, I mean, he'll get it, you know, and you probably don't mind it as much.
No, he'll get a 7-year deal. I don't know. That's just my thought. I agree with you that Calgary is going to try to do everything they can to keep him. I don't think they want him walking. That's a huge loss for them.
Yeah,
if you know, offensively, that they struggle enough to score some goals. You know, they need him to score and score big goals. They'll throw everything they can. Then it's his decision as to whether he just wants out of there. Some Americans don't mind playing in Canada, and some don't like it at all. They don't want to be there. They don't like a lot about it. And I don't know him well enough to know whether that's a factor or not. But sometimes it is. There's Americans who go, I don't want to live in this country. I want to get out of here. And Canada's changing a lot under Trudeau. And just wonder whether they feel like, I really don't want to be here. So that's always a factor. When you got U.S. players up and playing in Canada,
yeah, or any foreign players, and kind of. So I want to ask you this question, and then just spend 2 minutes on the draft. So out of all the goaltenders that we talked about, because we talked about the forwards are pretty good, but who ends up who's going to be the biggest name that goes, whether it's a trade, whether it's a Gibson trade or somebody like a Campbell, who's like the biggest name for you that's Gibson. Moving?
It's Gibson, by far.
You think
Gibson's
he's moving, most, though? You don't think he's staying with the Ducks?
No, he's... The rumors are out, right? So if the rumors are there, if there's smoke, there's fire. And if he's part of the group that is available, truly available, he's the best goalie that'll be available. I mean, if I'm Edmonton, he says he doesn't want to go there, but if I'm Edmonton, I'd say, you know, any Draisaitl and McDavid are off the books for you, but you pick it as many players you want and we'll make that trade. And if you're Toronto, Toronto is this close with if they had a goalie, they could do the same thing. You know, look, here's a handful of guys we won't trade, but let's make a deal. Gibson to me is I think he's in his prime, and he is a guy that I think that can take a team and a really good team and make them a Stanley Cup contender. He's more so than any of the other goalies that are available right now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I just don't think he's going anywhere. I think the Ducks are going to keep him around with this young core. I do agree there is smoke, but probably for me, the biggest name that's going to be on the move here is going to be Jack Campbell. And there are people who might argue that Darcy Kuemper is a bigger name. I disagree. I think Campbell's the bigger name at this point.
Yeah.
And the other one thing we haven't talked about is that Sergei Bobrovsky contract in Florida. They would certainly like to be rid of that. I just don't know who takes it.
No.
A lot of money for a goalie.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Even at half, $5 million is a ton of money that you're just sitting on.
I know. A lot of money. I mean, it's, you know, boy. But again, is he an upgrade for what you have in Edmonton or Toronto? You know, that price?
Edmonton only has Stuart Skinner right now if you anticipate Smith going on IR next year. Edmonton needs a starter. They do not have one.
No. I mean, do they bring Talbot back? I don't know. Maybe that's, what price? So I definitely think that, Bobrovsky's got a chance to go somewhere. There are going to be teams that Edmonton could be an upgrade. Toronto, I think even Toronto, why isn't he an upgrade? I mean, Campbell's going to walk. Isn't Bobrovsky then an upgrade?
I think he would be if they could afford him, if they could fit him in under the cap. That's the problem for Toronto, is just money.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
We'll see how that one pans out. Just real quick with the draft, wanted to mention with Juraj Slafkovský going number one, and Simone Nemec going number two to New Jersey. Nice draft for Czech. First time they've ever gone 1-2. Shane Wright is the gift of the draft. There you go, Seattle Kraken at number four. I still think Wright was probably the best player in that draft.
Yeah, he fell, didn't he? He was projected to be number one. Yeah.
And you know what? First of all, Seattle needs every position. But number two, the worst rap against Shane Wright was that he didn't dominate every single game, but he played on a crummy team. And I know the argument, he missed a year of his development too. And I don't know. I think he's the best all round player. And that's probably the guy I would have went with. So look, he's going to be great in Seattle though, because he's a guy who does everything really well. And that's the thing, is everyone's like, well, he's not exceptional in any one area. And everybody says, well, his upside is Patrice Bergeron. I'm like, that's still pretty good.
That's good.
That's still pretty good comparison.
Yeah,
you're not losing with that.
No, and Seattle needs a player. They need a young player that's going to grow with this team and be a tentpole for this club. They don't have anybody. They don't have it. And maybe that's a guy that could be. You know, it's a start to building. You've got to get I say this all the time. But when you are bad, and Seattle's a bad team, and you get a top five pick, you can't miss. It can't be a swing and a miss. You've blown it. You've blown a year of he. I
He's not Connor McDavid, but he is going to be good, and he's a guy that you can build with, you would think. He's got all the attributes to, you know, to be a solid pick. I don't think you swung and missed. Is it a home run? I don't know. He might be a triple, but that's still pretty good. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't strike out.
No, I think he was probably the biggest gift of the draft. So that's congratulations to the Kraken. They need some positive press right now, and I think that gives it to them. So absolutely. All right, well, Mike, we've had quite the show here, a lot to cover, and we covered it, darn it.
We said it all.
We did. And so now the next time you and I are going to be coming back is going to be after the free agency starts, which is Wednesday of next week, the 13th. And so we'll have something out probably on Thursday. But at this point, I mean, there's so much. And we set it up pretty well here. But all those names and more, there's guys we didn't even get to. Claude Giroux is going to be out there maybe. Is he, you know, we may have answers before free agency, but we may not. And I think it's going to be an intriguing free agency period. A lot of movement this year. A lot.
Always is. Not tremendous amount of big names, but there are some big names. Some guys who could help your team, who could make a difference. Some guys are going to get rich.
Yes.
And some guys are going to be very disappointed. That's how it works every year. You get guys who have immediate impacts, guys who are huge disappointments, guys who get rich, and guys who go, is my phone broken? Why is my phone
right?
Not working? What's wrong with my phone? Nothing's happening. Yeah. It happens every year. So, you know what? And we'll be there to tell you what happened, why it happened, and that we were once again correct on everything we predicted.
There you go. 100%. Even when Mike and I disagree, we're both still right.
That's right. One of us is right.
That's right. Yeah.
This show is always right.
Yes. There you go. Perfect. I love it. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you being here, and like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast. And again, Mike and I appreciate your support here, and we look forward to catching up with you after free agency hits. So we'll talk to you then. And once again, don't forget, we are on hiatus with Talking Puck TV. Mike and I just need a break from you guys. That's really what it comes down to.
That's right. Well,
while we develop our food podcast.
I was just going to bring up the food thing. For those who watched last Sunday, Tom and I just sort of, you know, we clomped through the hockey. Our faces lit up when we started 15 minutes of food talk. It was like you had just handed us $1 million. We were lit up. We were excited. You talk about two guys who love to eat.
Yes.
So it was a fun part. So yeah. So get ready for our talking food podcast on Sunday nights.
I like it. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.